You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 2, Episode 18, Killed by Death. While hospitalized with a severe case of the flu, Buffy battles a demon that sucks the life out of sick children. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kim.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Brian.
Hey, Brian. Brian!
Hello.
I think a lot of people will recognize your voice. We have a lot of the same listeners as Hellmouth Podcast.
Probably. I hear some familiar names when y'all are reading emails and getting voicemails and stuff.
So, Killed by Death. Kind of a filler episode.
Yep, that's the feeling I have.
Yeah.
It's just, it's unfortunate placement, because it's coming after shortly after two fantastic episodes.
Yeah.
I think if it was a season one episode, it probably would have been one of the top two or three episodes of season one. But coming after Passion and some of the others, it's a victim of season placement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because this was supposed to be a season one episode.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's just so weird that it's so much. Does it not remind y'all of Nightmares?
I haven't seen
A little bit. I mean, there's a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
And Buffy's helping out the kid. And there's that monster. And yeah. Definitely.
And also, well, we'll just get into this later. But anyway, we want to look at feedback.
Yeah, let's maybe read a couple emails. How about an email from HollyMac79?
Okay, which one? There's about three or four of them.
The one entitled Killed by Death?
Okay.
So I can read this one. So okay. Holly writes in, "Hey, Gax and special guest. Just wanted to give my short feedback on this episode. Not a bad episode to have after Passions, to kind of take a step back and regroup. Uh-huh. Sadly, no Spike or Drew. Love the patrolling scene at the very beginning of the episode and Buffy saving Cordy from Angel. A sick Slayer is a somewhat chatty Slayer. Love how Giles covers up with Joyce by his side. I've heard it's best to play along. Cordy helping research and then filling Buffy in. Love it.
Yeah.
When I first watched this episode, I never pegged the Dakindestud killed Buffy's cousin until the flashback scene. Looking forward to hearing your insights. Holly in Wisconsin."
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, yeah. Holly.
Thanks, Holly.
It's just a shame. This episode feels like such a drag.
Because well, it was all right. I mean, one thing I didn't like about it was that as soon as I saw what Buffy saw, it was like, is that Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Like, why is Freddy Krueger on Buffy?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was a little disappointed with their lack of creativity for something. But clearly, I was steered towards thinking the security guard was actually killing the kids. I don't know if you guys felt that way as well.
Well, I couldn't get over the fact that it was the guy from Sex and the City.
Yeah.
No, no, it's not. It's not. It's Damon Lindelof. He just does not, he's not wearing his glasses. See?
No, it's the guy from White Collar.
Yeah. God.
That's Damon Lindelof.
White Collar is awesome.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I think there are some of the important things that stick out for me in this episode, and it is a bit of a letdown after the Passion episode, but I think there is a little bit of significance in season two, because I think that now that we've seen the death of Jenny Callender, the Scoobies have a much different reaction towards Angel or Angelus. And we see that a little bit here in this episode. It's kind of overshadowed by the the cheesy monster of the week and that whole plot line. But I think that that is one of the things that sticks out for me in this episode, is that there's a real shift in their mentality here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that scene between Angel and Xander.
Mm-hmm.
Both trying to one-up each other. I friggin' love it.
Ugh. He's so annoying.
And Angel just laughing at his face.
Yeah.
You puny little girly man.
Like, he's so much more interesting now, because I freaking hated Angel.
He was made of cardboard before. He was just a cardboard cutout of David Boreanaz.
But everything, even like the way he walks into the scene, everything is just so much more interesting. And I actually pay attention to what he's going to say, whereas before I'm like, oh, shut up.
I could not stand him. I want to read. I'm sorry, Gabby. Go ahead.
I'm just kind of. I know it's only beginning. I'm sure it's probably only just, you know, the beginning. But I'm so sick and tired of the pissing contest between Angelus and Xander already.
But it's Angelus and everyone.
Well, yeah.
And what I want to know is, you know, Xander, he hates vampires. He is 100% against vampires, especially, you know, because of Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how much of his hate toward Angel is jealousy, just like he said.
As opposed to being a vampire racist?
Yeah.
You mean he's an anti-vampite?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think it started off with his jealousy, but now this just heightens it even more. And kind of like we were discussing in the last podcast, where is he justified in the whole "I told you so"? I think this just takes it to another level where just his hatred is so bad, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it too is maybe he feels impotent to be able to do anything about it, you know?
That's true.
Like, yeah.
He's overcompensating somewhat, and, you know, in that scene between him and Angel in the hospital, like, you know, you think you can take this guy and that guy and this guy too. He's acting all tough. And after Angel leaves, you see his reaction like, oh my God.
I'm going to go to the restroom now.
Yeah. I'm glad I brought this change of underwear.
But it obviously got to Angel because he left.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, so, I think he appealed to his intellect where it was like, yeah, I'm not probably not going to be able to get, you know, past all of these people necessarily. I mean, well, maybe he could, but I think Xander's also just upset because, you know, this whole pissing contest, as you put it, I think he feels like he can't compete. He couldn't compete before, right? Because Angel and Buffy were together and she preferred him, but he's in the same boat, but it's even smaller. He really can't compete now because he's evil and killed Jenny and could kill whoever, right? So,
Well, and in Xander's position, you know, the way he views vampires is they're all evil and they're all just demons to him. And so he's standing there saying, Buffy knows that I like her. I'm right here, and she still would rather be with an undead creature than be with me.
Yeah. That's also the point that Willow expressed when she found out that Xander and Cordy were together. You would rather be with someone you hate than with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and there are parallels there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just wants what they can't have. Everyone in this show.
That's true. Let me read this email from David Feynman. He says, Dear Gax, first off, I want to say I love the show. I've been a Buffy fan for years, and I've seen every episode probably too much. I love hearing your thoughts on the show. That being said, Kill by Death is either going to be an episode you find hilarious and its absurdity, or just a bad episode. Can't wait to hear about it. The next episode, I Only Have Eyes for You, is one of my favorites from season 2. I hope you enjoy, your friend David. P.S. These potential cast boxers are super comfortable. I assumed he was kidding, but no, he really did order some.
Oh, speaking of which, sort of, Gabby, I got your t-shirt. Thank you.
Oh, yay, you got it. You're welcome.
Your art t-shirt. Nice.
That's great.
Yeah. I love my topic up.
Pardon me?
I love my coffee cup. My best cup. I love it.
Did you get your potential cast shirt yet, by the way?
No, Steph? I haven't.
I have to contact Cafe Press. It's stuck somewhere.
Oh. Did you try the Tim Hortons coffee?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. That's so strange.
Wait a second.
Made K-Cups.
Are you the one that sent them Tim Hortons coffee?
I sent them Tim Hortons coffee.
Oh, my
awesome.
God. It was the mug is awesome, too.
Mm-hmm. Geoffrey, always fresh.
Yes.
Mm. Although I did fall in love with the soy latte in Vegas at Starbucks. when your hotel, shaped like a pyramid, has three Starbucks in it, you kind of have to. So can I just say one thing?
Of course.
No.
Goyce?
Yes.
Goyce?
No, it's never
going to
happen.
I know, right? I was totally thinking
there was that.
There
was that little, let me talk to you over here.
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that teacher. I really wasn't thinking about her, but now that you mentioned it, thanks, thanks for being a buzzkill.
Ginny who?
Yeah.
Yeah, I refer to it as Joyles.
Joyles. That's better. That's much better.
Yeah, but there's a little spark there, I think. I'm with you there.
There was a little spark there when she was in the hospital after being bitten by Darla.
I think them hooking up would be a bit too much.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it'd be too on the nose, because Buffy needs a father figure, and it's just too much. Even though it'd be nice, but...
chemistry.
By the way, I can guarantee you that Illyrio and Gabby gave Buffy the flu.
Yep.
Because we were sick. And I'm sure that even though it involved some inoculation time travel, we are responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I can, I'm speaking just for myself, but Cordy is not the only one to have noticed that thing on Buffy's face. I've been talking about it to myself. For a very long time.
I love things. Sorry, go ahead.
What is that thing on Buffy's face? Is there a thing on Buffy's face?
It really needs to get taken care of.
Really? But I was going to say that I love the exchange between Xander and Cordelia. I love that they're... I love that they're jealous of each other, but at the same time, it turns them on. Yeah. I think it's so great.
Yeah, and it took me several times watching this to notice when she comes back after they have their little argument, she brings him coffee and donuts.
Mm-hmm. Krispy Kremes.
Yes.
Product placement, season two. I love Cordy so much more after that. Watch her back is a euphemism for her butt thing. You know, sort of a pun. It was awesome. She's so awesome. She's full of awesome. It's like an iceberg. You only see like the tip of the awesome. There's a lot more awesome under there, I think.
Yeah. But like I said, that this reminded me of nightmares because of the little boy in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But two, when Xander and Cordelia go and talk to the security guard, when Xander uses Cordelia to distract the security guard, that was just like in Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when they went to the military base?
No, not Halloween. It was the one where they referred back to Halloween.
The one What's before my phases. Lie to me? What's my lie? No.
No. It's the one before phases.
The one with the judge, where they killed the judge.
Mm-hmm. We know what you mean.
Innocence.
Yes.
Innocence, yes. But yeah, you know the scene where they go to the military base. And that was just, the scenes were so much alike.
Yeah. Although there are flashbacks in this episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was just me or did you guys feel like there weren't enough flashbacks? It just seemed so kind of tossed in there.
I didn't feel that way.
I felt like they didn't. Although I have to say, the first flashback where Buffy was being Power Girl.
Oh yeah,
I have to say really. Oh, that was the second one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the second one. I'm really happy. I've discovered I'm not the only one who's rendered helpless by a pillow and duvet attack. Those things are very difficult. to get off you when you're kind of panicking. So,
well, and apparently Buffy at some point in her life was in some kind of horrible accident and had severe reconstructive surgery because she looks absolutely nothing like she did when she was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think that little girl looks kind of Hispanic. She's a cute girl.
I thought the flashback, I think there was just enough, because I think any more would have been like the show was trying to illustrate it to the dumbest of people, because I think it was just enough, because
and
Joy,
I think it was,
spelled it out at the very beginning, so I think
to tell me about it.
But I think it would have been okay if Der Kinderstadt didn't kill Celia.
Yeah, that was too convenient.
I think that it would have been better if it just reminded Buffy of the situation.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? That scene was ridiculous when she's witnessing Der Kinderstadt killing her cousin. Buffy's a little girl. Shouldn't she be able to see him?
Yeah.
I think you have to have the fever.
So you have to be a kid and have a fever?
Oh, yeah. It's just the fever. It's not being a kid. Bella, you're right.
Yeah.
All right. You win this round, Joss. The battle for continuity supremacy goes on.
Well, I just felt like if you're going to make Der Kinderstadt be the same person that killed her cousin, then why not just make her cousin a little white boy named Ryan and have him be in the hospital too? Because
yeah.
That way you just complete the circle here in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although gross eye tentacles. A couple solid points for that.
I thought that was hilarious.
It was awesome.
I love that they showed it twice, because then I got so funny.
I don't know. I think we're all glossing over the most important fact that Frog Fear made a comeback in this episode.
Yes. Frog Fear.
Awesome. Yeah, in the series, I kept waiting for there to be some kind of monster frog. You know?
Wait, there's not?
I don't know. I'm not going to say.
Don't use the S word.
And again, you're not using frog as a racial slur, right? Like, you actually mean an amphibious creature?
Not a French person, obviously.
Okay. All right, good. One
That's
last thing on my end. Am I the only guy that doesn't need to tilt his head when he's looking at a woman's butt? Like, how many times are we going to be shown, oh, he's not looking just at her. He's looking at her butt. See? Head tilt. Like, I don't tilt my head when I look at a woman's behind.
Because you try not to be noticed, don't you?
Yeah. All stuff like buying a newspaper with eye holes cut out of it.
Oh, I love that Willow and Xander used to play doctor all the time. Literally. She had medical volumes.
She diagnosed Stephanie. Him with stuff.
Do what?
That she was doing it wrong.
Oh, that's great. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Backup when it's not as good, but whatever.
And what's the wheeling someone around in the yard of the hospital? Like, really?
Yeah. If you're well enough to be wheeled around outside, then you're well enough to go home.
Well, but didn't Ryan tell Buffy that they were all contagious? And so wouldn't wheeling Buffy throughout the whole hospital just be exposing everybody to this deathly flu?
This just points to the fact that the hospitals and the insurance companies are in bed together. That's how you get more people sick.
Another way to do that is apparently in 1990 when Buffy was 8, they kept all the surgical tools on a tray in the hallway.
And a dirty cot.
Yeah.
It's because they're all busy watching Twin Peaks. I left all of that alone.
Well, as a respiratory therapist, it really bothers me to see ventilators in the hallway because that's a fire hazard. I mean, do you not have a better place to store your equipment? But it's nice seeing bare ventilators. We don't use those anymore. But in England, they have awesome ventilators. They have really high-tech looking ventilators on Being Human.
I think you might be the only ventilator nerd on the podcast. Last week, I was the only art supply nerd. Next week, we'll find out who's the beer nerd.
Well, actually, I was about to say, I think I noticed something in this episode that maybe, I don't know, I might have a theory.
Oh, really?
I think Joyce has a drinking problem because her necklace looks like a bottle opener.
Awesome. You can get those?
I don't know. Probably somewhere.
That'd be like so efficient.
Did anyone else notice at the very beginning of the episode that Buffy and Angel were fighting on Richard Alpert's grave?
What?
What?
Yeah, I saw that.
The grave said Alpert.
Really? Oh, that's hilarious.
That's awesome. Lost reference. Okay, we get off topic for just a second. I have a question for Brian.
But we never do that.
Yeah, I know. I'm stating it beforehand. Okay. I may have asked this before, but anyways. We were kind of discussing this in the last episode. I like to see what your opinion is because you've seen the series before. We were discussing about how when we have listeners or people comment about the upcoming episodes of like, oh, I love this episode or I hate this episode, if that influences us. And what's your kind of take on that?
Do I think it influences you?
Yeah. Do you think it spoils us in a way? Like, because it all came up when everyone kept saying for this episode, Illyrio is going to lose his mind because, and even though no one said that Jenny was going to die, but what's your take on that?
Well, I will say this. I think that by pointing out things that are, for example, oh, you're not going to like this episode, this episode's not that good, I think that probably definitely might close your eyes to things that you might have really enjoyed about the episode just because you're anticipating it being a bad episode. And, you know, conversely, if everybody talks up an episode and you get expectations are too high, then you might be disappointed. So, yeah, I'm sure that it does have an influence in how y'all approach watching an episode for the first time.
It's interesting you say that because both Kim and I mentioned last week that we both go into each episode of Buffy expecting the worst.
Yeah. To lower the expectations. Great. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. I try not to let other people's opinions influence my Buffy watching. So,
well, but you know, y'all are in a tough position because most of the people listening to your podcast have seen the show before, and so if you want feedback of any kind from these people, you got to give them something to say. You know, everybody's working so hard not to spoil you guys on plot elements and stuff like that. You know, if trying to rein people back in terms of their feedback anymore, and there'll be nothing left to say.
Yeah. That's true. So what's your stand on Jonathan, Brian, as far as Jonathan being a spoiler?
Do I think Jonathan is a spoiler?
Do you think that us talking about Jonathan every time he's on screen being a spoiler? Because I've said that I wasn't going to mention Jonathan anymore, but I can't help it. I have to mention Jonathan.
I don't think so, because I don't think that there is any conceivable way that they could anticipate what is going to happen with that character. And so, I mean, I haven't been concerned about it when I've heard it. So,
because Jonathan could do anything for me. I mean, you just have no idea.
All I know is that whenever Jonathan comes on the screen, I pay attention.
Yeah, which I think might lessen the impact.
I think so too.
You know, because if you're watching it from the beginning and no one tells you Jonathan, you know, because he's still credited as student, right? Like if you're watching it in inside a sensory deprivation chamber, he's just student. and you don't know anything about Jonathan. You don't even know his name yet. So I kind of look at Jonathan. I look upon the Jonathan moment as, oh, I wonder. No. It's not like when I was spoiled about Oz being a werewolf, where every time I'd see Oz, I'm like, is this when we find out?
Right. Is this going to be the episode where it happens?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, is this when I'll finally be spoiler free?
Yeah. I've been lucky enough not to be spoiled, which is so strange because there are so many times when Buffy. There, the other day I was watching Jimmy Fallon and they were talking about Buffy, and I turned the TV off and I kept thinking, what are the chances that they'd be talking about Buffy while we're watching this? And it's now that I'm actually actively trying not to be spoiled, it's just there's so many things I probably could know what happens in the entire series, but because I wasn't clued in and paying attention. Mm-hmm. It just went, whoa, over
my head. It's
probably
in our unconscious.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably in my unconscious because I fell asleep listening to the Confessions of an Internet Addict with Stephanie, and apparently it was full of spoilers.
That's good.
Oh, it's so funny because what's on with Stephanie Diaz, like, we have Buffy news every week. We have to talk about something about Buffy every week.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Am I the only one that was scandalized that Joyce didn't put honey in the peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Huh?
Honey?
Why would she?
Because that's the way you're supposed to eat it.
No. What?
You're on an island on your own with that one.
Well, Montreal is an island, Brian. I'm impressed with your knowledge of Canadian geography. But back to my point, if we could, you take two pieces of bread. You put peanut butter on one, you put jam or jelly on the other, and you put honey on one of the other ones. You can alternate. One day it's one side, you know, one day it's the other. And then you eat it over the sink.
That doesn't make it too sweet.
Isn't that?
The words too sweet don't actually exist. It's a perfect food to add for us because honey never spoils.
Mm.
I've never heard of that.
No. Really, Kim?
No.
Maybe it's just...
Maybe it's a frog thing.
You should try it. I don't know what you mean. I come from Portuguese heritage. So, and don't you dare call me pork and cheese. Let me tell you. But yeah. Well, okay, that was interesting. I was waiting for her to mention honey, and she didn't mention it. So I thought I'd bring it up. Now I am full of regret. It's funny because it's true. All right. More points.
Well, I'm just thinking back of what Steph said about this episode was supposed to be in season one. I'm trying to think how differently it would be.
Yeah, even though it's no kind of like versus
yeah, exactly.
Xander thing.
It would just, I guess, be different type of filler. But
yeah, what would be changed?
Did it strike anybody else as odd that the architect for this hospital decided to put the access door to the underground tunnels and utilities in the children's ward?
Makes perfect sense.
It did strike me that the basement was very leaky. Drips of water everywhere. My basement was like that. I couldn't get home insurance. That's a hospital?
Yes.
All right.
I'm trying to think. Oh, it's just a shame of the placement of this episode because it to me it's very like lackluster.
Mm-hmm. Well, you gotta have these filler episodes. It can't be all
thriller
story arc.
Yeah. It has, but
I was watching season 5 the other day, and the story arc parts are interwoven a lot more in the episodes in season 5.
Like later seasons of X-Files were like that.
Than the, this is a standalone Monster of the Week episode. Oh, this is a mythology episode. They're more woven together better later on.
That's good, because this season I felt like there's been more of an arc continuing through each episode. and this felt a little bit...
Yeah. Although Phases is a filler.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a much better filler than this one, so I guess, you know, we didn't really have much to complain about.
Well, and it's interwoven a little bit. I mean, you know, you've got the two scenes. There's the Giles and Willow scene when he mentions Jenny being gone, and the Joyce and Giles scene that you mentioned. You know, so we're getting to see a little bit of Giles moving on after what's happened in the Passion episode. And I think that one of the things that always stood out to me was, especially about the Passion episode, is what you don't get to see. Because once that episode is over, poor Giles goes back to his apartment and has to clean up rose petals and broken glass.
And burn his sheets.
We know they have companies that go in and clean up crime scenes. He could have just outsourced that.
And, you know, for a character that is typically one of the most likable characters in the show, I was glad to see that even though we didn't get to see that part of it, they're not just glossing over what's happened. At least they did bring it up in this episode, which, again, is a bit of a filler episode. But they did interweave some of that in there to show how he's dealing with the situation.
Definitely. So at the beginning of the episode, I thought they were going to talk about Buffy getting sick because she's been exhausted from being up and slaying. I thought they were going to interweave that in with what happened to Jenny, but I guess that was a bit of a stretch, but doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was not expecting a filler episode. I think that's what was the... the undoing of this one for me. I was not expecting a filler, and every time I thought, "Oh, it's gonna," oh, really? Okay, not as interesting, not as. So I think my expectation of I can't wait, what's gonna happen next was unfortunately, you know, I should have just gone in with my expect the worst.
Well, I think part of it as well is also because of when we, the last time we actually watched an episode and discussed was when we did our live commentary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because when we do our podcast, we usually watch, what, on average, two episodes every 2 weeks, right? And so I feel like I haven't watched an episode in like 5-6 weeks. Yeah. And to have that episode be the one that we watch next was like, oh, that's... added, compounded to it as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Sorry, Death.
The episode title was weird.
Killed by Death?
Killed by Death. I don't know.
When he was at Death, he was Der Kinderstut.
Der Kinderstut?
It said that, Joss created him that he's part Freddy Krueger, part Nosferatu.
Yes,
and part Boogeyman.
Sure.
I suppose.
I don't know. He wasn't particularly scary.
Or compelling.
No. And he just reminds me of other monsters. Don't you think so, Brian?
Yeah, I think the only thing really unique about this guy is that he manages to make bowler hats look creepy. But other than that, he's just kind of an amalgam of a bunch of, you know, different monsters from various places.
And his eyes turn into suction cups. Come on. It's pretty crazy.
Eat.
There's a whole new meaning to, I see you.
Try your hair.
My hair is dry, Mom. Thanks, though.
Do the episode titles get spoil the episodes at all? Because I have a list of all the episode titles, but I haven't looked at them because I'm afraid.
I don't think that you could look at the episode titles and tell anything about the episode.
Well, I want to know what Becoming's about, because that one, I don't understand that.
There are some that are giveaways. For example, and there's an episode in season 3 called Homecoming.
Episode The Prom.
The Prom. So you can kind of guess what those episodes are about. But it doesn't really... None of the titles give away anything about the content of the episode.
You know, like, there are some really great episode titles. I really appreciate the titles. And then maybe later on, sometimes they, I don't know, they get harder to title, but...
I think this is a poor example, because most of the time after you've seen the episode, then the title makes a lot of sense. This is maybe not one of the strongest examples of that, but typically it makes a lot more sense after you've seen the episode.
But Killed by Death, the children called him Death.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's from the children's standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that they took Ryan, once he got over the flu, straight into psychiatric evaluation. Pictures that he's drawing and sending to people in the mail.
Because he didn't mail the letter by himself, obviously.
Well, I know something didn't seem to be answered for me. Now, Buffy presumably was brought to the hospital, well, as far as Joyce knows, because the flu was so bad she needed to be hospitalized. Mm-hmm. But then they mentioned her injuries. So didn't they think it was odd that she may have had broken or sprained body parts as well from her from her fight, and no one really questioned
that?
Well,
but she fell. When she passed out and fell, oh, okay. And I guess that's how they assumed that she broke her wrist.
I think they just assumed she was on PCP. And broke her arm that way, punching through a windshield or something.
Okay.
Silly Gabby.
So neat. Come on, Debbie. Get with it.
Having an alter ego is awesome.
So anything else for this episode? It's just, I feel like we're just glossing over this episode, but
I feel bad.
I do too.
I don't hate it. Good. But compared to Passion and some other stuff we've seen this season, I kind of feel bad for not finding more redeeming qualities than Damon Lindelof is on this episode. Ha ha ha.
You know? I took four notes and one of them was Buffy, white tank top, white bra.
At least we got some bra watch this week.
It was so not good.
I took half a page of notes, and I was stretching for things to talk about.
Well, not to get your hopes up too high or lift your expectations, we're about to ramp up to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. I know, we only have four left, right?
Yeah.
But it is true that we need an episode to decompress and mm-hmm. take a breath.
Yeah.
So... I feel bad, Brian. Sorry.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about, Brian?
No. I'm at
Harry was thinking, how's Brian going to compare this to, like, Metamorphosis or, you know, La Nausée or, you know, Siddhartha or something, you know?
Now, you know, this one, when I did this one on the Hellmouth podcast, trying to come up with enough stuff to talk about this episode for 30 minutes by myself was stressful, to say the
least. By yourself, all these episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No,
well, not all of them.
You have lots of guests. They do most of the talking. It's awesome.
I have guests host periodically, but I'd say
yeah, like I was on the next one we're about to do, I Only Have Eyes for You, I was on his podcast with him for that one.
Nice.
Yes, and the funny thing about – a funny story about that. We were – I guess we had just finished recording for that episode, and Stephanie was telling me, she's like, you know, I've got this idea for doing a new podcast. Yeah. And I think I'm going to try and get some people that haven't seen Buffy before and watch it for the first time. And I remember thinking, that sounds like a really good idea. You should totally do that. That'd be great. And here I am on the Potential Podcast. It's
the birth of Potential Cast.
Circle of life. It's amazing.
And then I'm going to record with him for the season 3 finale. Mm-hmm. Next week.
It's a 2-part finale for season 3, so we're going to be doing both episodes next week.
Oh, we're going to have so much to talk about.
Yes.
Ratings.
Brian?
I think that if you isolated this episode from the rest of the season, it's a pretty decent episode. Like I said, if it was in season one, it would be a great episode compared to the other ones in season one. So I'm going to give it 7 euphemisms for looking at her butt.
Like a pun?
Like a pun.
I'm going to give this episode a 5 out of 10. Mm-hmm. 5 out of 10 vaccine fridges.
I give it 6 out of 10 cases of the flu.
Spanish flu?
Morgan gives it what? 1 out of 10 dead children.
Because that's what happens to children.
Yes. Kim?
Trying to be nice to this episode. I would probably give it.
This is the episode no one sits next to at the cafeteria.
It's like I'd give it 5 out of 10 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Yeah, yeah, I was just not thrilled with this episode.
Mm-hmm. Debbie doesn't care how much she hated this episode, and she's going to give it 2 out of 10 balloons.
I think you mean flowers.
Well, if you stick them in water.
They might grow.
I hate to feel like we're just totally bagging on this episode, because it's not the episode. It's just the momentum.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, for me, it was really the episode. I didn't like it. I had a hard time sitting through it both times. I really couldn't stand it.
You watched this thing twice?
I watched it once when I was sick, so we know I did not pay attention.
So horrible parallels for you.
And then I watched it again when I was less sick, and I'd stop, and I'd pause, and I'd nap, or I'd tweet, and then I'd go back to the episode. I just didn't care.
I think it would be different if this episode was written for season 2. It'd be different. If it was written, like you said, for season 1, and then all the minor plot points that tied it together were like last minute additions. You know what I mean? Just slotted in. So I think that if the actual plot was threaded through better, it wouldn't feel like such a crap episode, but but yeah.
Maybe we'll come back and do a commentary sometime. Oh, or maybe a drinking game. Whatever.
If you know of any interesting Buffy-related drinking games, you can send us an email about them at...
Please send them to potentialcast@gmail.com.
Or you can call it in at 270-40-BUFFY. You can go to potentialcast.com and comment directly about episodes, or you can have fun on the Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, you can do a search for Potential Cast, all one word, and you can ask to join the group. Keep it spoiler free, and we won't kick you out.
Yeah.
I think it's time for quotes.
I don't have any.
What? That's not true.
Stephanie said mine already.
Oh.
I told you, I wrote half a page of notes.
All right. I'll go first, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, hold on. I have to prepare. I'm using the method. Your mom's trying to mug out the cheesy chips. What's that about?
It had nothing to do with anything. That's what it tells me. The episode.
Okay, I've got one. No more fogs.
Well, I've got an obvious one. Tact is just not saying true stuff. I'll pass.
That was on my list. Yeah.
This is what happens when you're compassionate towards sick people. They take advantage of you.
Kim, you can say Power Girl to the rescue. I'll just edit it in.
I'll say my quote. It's okay.
Okay, good.
I'm good at all that medical stuff. Sandra and I used to play doctor all the time. So cute.
Or like, my Buffy, my whole life just flashed before my eyes. I gotta get me a life.
You're going to die, and I'm going to be there.
Mm. Yeah, I think if Angelus dies and Angel is resurrected, I think it'll be because of something Xander does.
No, I wouldn't put it past Joss that this is foreshadowing the very end of the series or something.
Or the end of Angelus.
Yeah. Wow.
Angel has to come back somehow.
Yeah.
He has to get his soul back. The floppy disk is on the floor. Come on.
Come on, cleaning staff. Let's go. Let's do this.
Maybe the new computer science teacher helps them out. Who knows? Stephanie's awfully quiet.
I missed this one. You have a really nice nose. You must work out. Cordy was on fire this episode. It was a really good Cordy episode. Like for Cordy, yeah. She was awesome.
Really strong Cordy episode.
Well, Brian, sorry we had to put you through this. Thanks for coming, I guess.
We made you wait for this.
We made you wait like extra long because Robin wouldn't shut up, and now it's like, I hope we didn't kill your buzz.
Yeah.
No, I had a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yes.
And if we have any listeners who don't already listen to the Hellmouth podcast, it's hellmouthpodcast.com.
Yes. And we're getting ready in a couple weeks. We're going to be starting the Investigating Angel podcast.
Ooh, so. You're getting the jump on us.
Yeah, Stephanie named it, so.
Nice.
Well, I'm looking forward to listening to that in about 4 years.
I'll still be trying to finish it in 4 years. So don't
awesome.
It's okay.
Yeah, I think I might start a new Lost Rewatch podcast. It's going to be called, Why Am I Doing This?
I'll be on it, because I've only seen I think the first season of Lost, and that's it.
That's all you need to see.
All you need to see. I'm just kidding. It gets really, 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 really good, and I personally was disappointed with the last season. However, many people enjoyed it.
Really?
Yes. It's really good until it's very polarizing. The last
season's
episode.
Polarizing, and you can't satisfy everyone.
True. Right.
I think that it just got built up so much that no matter what they did, it would have been horrible. So.
Right. Mm.
But anyways, this is a Buffy podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Not long.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
Are you booked for another potential guest episode in the future?
No, I'm not. You know, getting this episode was like trying to get into my doctor's office. I had to take whatever was available.
Well, you know what? At least here we don't make you pay a copay.
That's true.
Whatever that means. Right, Kim?
Yeah. I'm like, what? What's a copay?
Meh.
Universal healthcare.
Well, but you know, it's fine because I really enjoy listening to the special guests that y'all have. So I'm more than content to just be a listener.
Did you listen to our commentary one?
You know, I started to listen to it this afternoon, but I didn't have the episode playing in front of me,
and I realized
very quickly that it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
How did you like my rendition of the theme?
So I am going to go back and listen to it with the episode, but I haven't seen it yet. I was in the chat room while y'all were watching it, though, and I have to tell you, even though y'all were frustrated that the Ustream didn't work out, everybody in the chat room had a blast.
No, I was
watching along with each other and then watching Stephanie watching it and talking to you guys, so it worked out in the end because we all had a very good time.
That's great.
That's good. We're going to do another one sometime, but we don't know yet.
Yeah. What's our homework for next week, Steph?
Oh, next week is I Only Have Eyes for You.
I wonder what song I'll pick for that one. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man.
to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. My love is vengeance that's never free. No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do, and I blame you. No one bites back as hard on their anger. None of my pain or woe can show through. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. Love is vengeance that's never free. When my fist clenches, crack it open before I use it and lose my cool. When I smile, tell me some bad news before I laugh and act like a fool. And if I swallow anything evil, put your finger down my throat. And if I shiver, please give me a blanket. Keep me warm, let me wear your coat.
You know what's really expensive in Vegas is water.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Well, not if you buy it on the street from guys.
If you're walking up and down the strip and you try and buy a bottled water, it's like $6 or something like
that. I didn't find that. I bought giant bottles for $3.50.
Well, then I was a sucker that walked up to the wrong guy because it was incredibly expensive.
No.
Wow. I got one in August for $1.
Well, like the guy selling them out of coolers was selling them for like $1 each. But if you go to a Walgreens or a CVS or whatever, they're like $3.50 for like half a gallon. Whatever you people say.
Yeah.
Us people.
Yeah, you people. Non-metricites.
The ones that don't eat the peanut butter, jelly, and honey sandwiches.
Let me tell you, don't knock it till you tried it.
I'm going to try it right now.
You know, sure. You don't want to eat that right before you go get a cleaning. But, you know. It's delicious. And when you're waking up your kid at 6:30 in the morning, because he's got to be at school by 7:30, it wakes him up fast.
Then you send them to school for the teacher to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah. In his brand new running shoes that he put up. My kid wakes up at 5 in the morning and sneaks out of bed and puts on his brand new running shoes. I'm hearing Velcro in the middle of the night. And he starts walking around in his new shoes. He was so happy.
Because he loves his shoes so much.
Well, yeah, but he was also very excited because that was the morning where I was going to take them all to the airport. They're going to meet up with their mom in Nashville, so he was doubly excited.
So cute.
Yeah, anyway, I've digressed enough.